Memories of Radio Free Europe figure in Charles Gotti's new book, Failed Illusions. Gotti's a political scientist at Johns Hopkins University. His book is about the Hungarian uprising of 1956, when Charles Gotti was a young Hungarian newspaper reporter in Budapest. The failure that he writes about in Failed Illusions was widespread. Hungary's leaders failed to lead. Soviet reformers seriously considered compromise, but in the end rejected it. And Washington did nothing for the rebels, despite its professed anti-communism and despite the maximalist positions broadcast daily over Radio Free Europe, or RFE.
Both in terms of communism and in terms of the Soviet presence, RFE was diligently encouraging the Hungarians to go for a touchdown rather than, say, carry the ball for 4 or 5 yards.
Some of the things that you have found out through Freedom of Information Act suit and through studying other sources is what the U.S., what the CIA, and presumably the State Department, knew about Hungary, how well it understood events in Hungary prior to and during the revolution of 1956. And the short answer would be not much.
Yes, not much, and misunderstood the significance of the intra-party struggle taking place. One analysis, for example, kept referring to the peasantry and the Catholic Church as the prime movers for change. This was a total misunderstanding of the situation. The peasantry was asleep, and the Catholic Church had been infiltrated by the communists. So I would say, looking back, this was a ridiculous piece of analysis.
So the analysis was flawed. Were there very few people who spoke Hungarian working for the U.S. at that time?
Well, there were few at the embassy, I found to my total amazement. During the 1956 revolution, there was only one person. Let me correct myself. It was not an embassy. It was called a legation. There was only one person who, by the way, is alive. He was working for the CIA. But he could not leave the embassy during those 13 days, or again, the legation couldn't leave it, because being the only Hungarian speaker, he had to open the door of the legation and accept petitions from citizens and groups who came around and wanted to send a message to President Eisenhower.
You mean the one Hungarian-speaking intelligence agent at the U.S. legation in Budapest was essentially doing consular work at the door because he could speak the language?
I would even say he was a doorman.
That's not very encouraging.
It's not very encouraging, all the more so because the CIA and its predecessor, was called the Office of Policy Coordination, did not conduct any covert action operations in Hungary after 1948. You know, the curious thing is that for 4 years, the Eisenhower administration kept talking about the liberation of Eastern Europe and the rollback of Soviet power. And yet, when the opportunity arose, it turned out that they did not have a single plan on the shelves of the policy planning staff of the State Department about what to do.
Just to be clear here, you're not simply faulting the United States for not having run covert operations in Hungary between the end of the war and 1956. You're saying that there's a stark contrast between the lack of any such activity and the public diplomacy that was unfolding, much of it through Radio Free Europe, but also through statements by President Eisenhower. This was a country where people celebrated Captive Nations Day, and liberating the peoples of Soviet-occupied Eastern Europe was considered a public major foreign policy goal of the U.S.
It was hypocrisy at its worst. That is the main point of what I'm saying. The gap between words and deeds was huge. But there was, curiously enough, another gap that very few people have noticed, and that was a gap between what our government decided in secret, such as the National Security Council, and action. Because they did decide to do far more than they actually did, but they couldn't.
One of the big issues in all this was, what did the Hungarian revolutionaries want? Would they have settled for a neutrality like Austrian neutrality, which had been negotiated in the previous couple of years? It was just the year before when U.S. and Soviet troops all withdrew from Austria. Was it necessary for them to become a Western state, to become a NATO ally? What was their agenda?
Well, that is the most controversial part of my book. Certainly, they would have easily accepted Austria. Indeed, that was the goal. On the other hand, the revolution started with socialist goals. So some combination of Finland, Poland, Austria, or Yugoslavia. I can't answer it more precisely than that. The question, however, was not so much what those 10, 12,000 armed revolutionaries might or might not have accepted. The critical thing was the absence of leadership, that there was nobody there, there was no father figure, there was no magic politician who told them, this is what you can get, why don't you go for it?
Having experienced the uprising as a young man in Budapest, and you've spent many years re-examining what happened, but now with 50 years hindsight, what strikes you as the thing that would have been most surprising to young Charles Gatti in Budapest back in 1956? What is the great shock to learn that you now know to be true?
The inactivity of the United States. There was a poll taken by refugees in Austria after the end of the revolution in November or December of 56, which said that 95% of the refugees had expected American support, and I think it meant military support. Mm-hmm. We believed the rhetoric coming from Washington. One of my distinguished friends, Leslie Gelb, President Emeritus of the Council on Foreign Relations, read my book. He commented that American policymakers have a tendency to entertain domestic audiences with a lot of foreign policy BS. And the problem with that is that while here at home in the U.S. we tend to understand what it is and what's intended with that, unfortunately there are people around the world who believe our BS and think that it is genuine.
Well, Charles Gatti, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Charles Gatti is the author of Failed Illusions, Moscow, Washington, Budapest, and the 1956 Hungarian Revolt. You can read an excerpt from his book in which he recalls saying goodbye to his parents as he fled Hungary at our website, npr.org.